T-minus 94. United Nations Headquarters, Manhattan, New York. As Dan and Tara made a beeline for the entrance to the UN building to join William Godfrey and the amiable extraterrestrial they all knew as Leisha, the voice of one particularly loud reporter rose above every other in the media pack. Perhaps aided in standing out by a strong Australian accent, the words were clearly audible.
Dan, Ken Whitehouse, ARDB News, are you willing to comment on the worst-kept secret in the world? Can you confirm that China and the US are about to break away from UNICA in frustration at the overly cautious approach of European governments? And, more importantly, will you support their efforts to break the stalemate?
Having subconsciously stopped walking to hear the end of the question, Dan felt obliged to answer it. A signal from Godfrey encouraged him to do so. Acknowledging a question without answering would look weak on a day when strength was required more than ever. And in that moment, Dan acutely shared Tara's wish that Emma could have been with them. Long before he was fortunate enough to become her husband, Dan had been Emma's client, kept afloat by her expertise in the choppy waters of the media attention that followed his discovery of an apparent alien cover-up. The world had changed in too many ways to count since then, but the best of them was undoubtedly his union with Emma and the perfect child it had produced. Mother and daughter were together at home now, no doubt watching these scenes, and Dan drew strength from countless memories of Emma keeping calm in difficult times. "I'm more frustrated than anyone else by our lack of progress," he said to the reporter. "I didn't accept this position on the basis that practically a year later we'd be no further forward in the information exchange with the messengers that this agency was supposed to facilitate. We should already be benefiting from all kinds of peaceful new technologies, but politics has gotten in the way. That's not a situation I can tell."
"Dick Murphy, Blitz News,"
an obnoxious American reporter interjected, literally barging his Australian counterpart aside.
"Let's not dance around the real issue today, telepathic intrusion. You can see from this crowd that the public will never accept any so-called information exchange which grants superhuman powers to governments or law enforcement agencies. The privacy concerns, the ethical concerns. Where does it end, Dan? Where does it end?"
This was not a question Dan would have willingly stopped for, but with a Blitz News camera in his face and hundreds of millions of people watching, he couldn't back down. He leaned on every technique Emma had taught him and mentally framed this unwelcome confrontation as a good thing, a way to calm the minds of people who were understandably concerned about the potential applications of telepathy.
"It's a good question," Dan began. "So answer it," the reporter blurted out.
"Dick by name," Tara muttered quietly at Dan's shoulder. Dan, however, strived to keep his cool. "If I weren't in this privileged position of chief planetary liaison, I would share the concerns you raise," he said. "But because I am in this position, I know that the messengers will never use against us the telepathic powers they briefly granted me last year, and even more briefly granted Tara on New Kerguelen. The neurological uplifter they used on us is similar to the device they use on themselves to activate these abilities, which they are not born with. And that uplifter can also deactivate the abilities either individually or both at once. The envoy standing next to DPL Godfrey, who I know as Leisha and who I count as a dear friend, has retained his telekinetic abilities but currently has no telepathic power whatsoever. No one wants telepathy on Earth, Dick. No one. You're making an issue out of nothing, whipping up hysteria for the sake of your viewing figures, as always." Dick stepped back, seemingly satisfied with his direct response and not wishing to risk being escorted away for pushing too far.
"Dan, you were talking about what you're willing to tolerate," the far more polite Australian reporter prompted.
By now, Godfrey was subtly gesturing for Dan to hurry up.
"I have to be quick, Ken," he said, turning his body away to stress this point. "But I understand the positions of everyone in that crowd. I've already mentioned the uplift powers. I appreciate the support from the people in white, and I care about our environment just as much as everyone in blue. But let me make this clear. I'm not just as frustrated as them that nothing meaningful is being done to clean up our atmosphere and safeguard our planet's future. I'm more frustrated."
Tara nodded in agreement, standing in shot at Dan's shoulder to visually support his words in a manner Emma had suggested prior to their departure for New York.
I'm more frustrated because I positively know that deeper cooperation with the messengers could deliver beneficial technologies we haven't even dared to dream about, he went on. So my message to the environmental protesters is this. I'm with you, but the solution isn't disengaging with the messengers and hoping that our politicians can solve our problems. We all know that doesn't work. The solution is deeper engagement and cooperation with the messengers. The same messengers who already saved our planet once when they diverted Comet Il Diavolo. Let's not forget. The messengers are our friends, and just like me, they are friends of the people, not of the politicians. Dan walked away, happy with his closing line, and Tara smiled as she followed right behind him. Godfrey nodded approvingly as they approached, but seconds later they both saw their extraterrestrial friend Leisha moving his hand towards the sky. Dan was first to look up, first to see the remarkable sight of a water balloon filled with green paint crashing into an invisible force field just a few meters above his head. The paint pooled as though on a physical surface, right until Leisha tilted his hand to angle the force field in a manner that took it safely to the ground. As various members of the crowd and press pack reacted in every way from shock to amusement, Leisha then proceeded to point upwards once more and casually plucked the offending drone from the sky before slowly lowering it to the ground. Attendant police officers rushed in towards the object while Godfrey made a point of patting Leisha on the back.
This is the kind of power that citizens are rightly frightened of, Dick Murphy from Blitz News yelled above the general din. That thing just created a force field and pulled a drone from the sky.
A drone your goddamn fear-mongering and divisiveness put there.
Tara uncharacteristically snapped back. She was less used to being confronted by hostile reporters than Dan, having not joined him in the public eye until opinion was well on his side. Things were different now, with the nation and broader world split on what kind of relationship Earth should have with New Kerguelen, if any, and she didn't like it one bit. Dan gently pulled her away and continued, unfazed, towards Godfrey and Leisha. He shook the alien's hand, thankful for the help in avoiding a public green staining and truly glad to see him again after far too long. He then greeted Godfrey in a similar, if less enthused, manner, while Tara hugged Leisha and drew a smile from his almost human face. Leisha, one of the two messengers who had guided Tara and Dan around New Kerguelen on their all-important first visit, was around her height and bore a permanent expression of something that resembled keen interest due to the size and intensity of his primate-like eyes. The light blue skin and two-fingered hands no longer seemed as alien as they once had, so familiar had the messengers become, but the eyes remained as remarkable as ever. While Tara and Leisha enjoyed a silent reunion, William Godfrey called a group of photographers onto the walkway to capture some pre-summit shots. He leaned in to Dan's ear while he still had time, promptly delivering a highly unexpected piece of news.
We just received a quite remarkable status update from our team on New Kerguelen, Godfrey said in his ever-refined English accent. Leisha wants to talk to you in the table room as soon as you get inside, so I'll tell you the details right after that. The messengers don't know what we just found out, and if I told you now, you might accidentally let it out.
Dan looked straight ahead, quietly trying to make sense of these comments and hide his confusion as the cameras began to flash.
This isn't a piece of news I'm strategically choosing to give you at the last minute, Godfrey added. This is news I'm giving you as soon as I've got it, Dan. And believe me when I tell you, this changes everything.